Hey, it's Monday night, and we're back here with VoiceOver Body Shop. And tonight our guest is Chris Edgerly, who apparently is many people.
He's a busy guy.
Yeah, he's a busy guy. He does a lot of things, character voice work. He does stuff on The Simpsons, and he's got his own webcast. We're going to talk about all sorts of really cool stuff on various sections of the business and talk a little bit about creating your own content, maybe.
Very cool.
Yes.
And I heard something about you being at a podcast convention.
Oh, yes. I was at a huge podcast convention, and I'll fill you in on what all that was about, because it was actually rather exciting.
Curious.
Yes. And we're going to talk a little bit about mic technique tonight.
Very good.
And if you have a question, throw it in the chat room, and Paul Stefano's there tonight, and he will get that to us.
So, and it's my mom's birthday.
Yay! Happy birthday to you.
All right. The family's here.
All that on more and more on VoiceOver Body Shop coming right up.
Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere. Together in one place. George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred, myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, to bring you all the latest technology, today's voiceover superstars, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan's signature products. Source Elements, remote connections made even easier. VO2GoGo.com, everything you need to be a successful voiceover artist. J. Michael Collins Demos, award-winning demo production. VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your voiceover website won't be a pain in the butt. And VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live from their super secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Not that it bears repeating, but I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VO
BS.
Well, all right. Hey, audience. You guys are well rehearsed.
That's what we like to see.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
That's because our audience are regular viewers, not by choice, but by blood.
Ah, yeah.
It's my family.
The entire Whittam clan is here tonight.
Including my daughter. Yes.
And I knew they were coming this time.
Thank goodness. You had like a half an hour notice.
Yeah.
No, it's really fun to have them all here. They've been visiting all week. They head back tomorrow, so this is... And it's my mom's birthday, so we're having a little bit of fun tonight celebrating that. And we've had a great time. Went to Duke's down on the beach yesterday.
Oh, Duke's, yeah.
And had a really fun meal. And then to keep the Hawaiian theme going.
I was
going to
say, wait, isn't Duke's in Honolulu?
Yeah, it's the Duke's in name.
It was a long swim, I guess.
Right. And then we watched Moana projected in the yard on a bed sheet last night.
Very cool.
Which was fun.
That's outstanding. Well, happy birthday, and thanks for joining us tonight. Our guest tonight is Chris Edgerly. Now, he's a noted guy. He does a lot of stuff. That's the fascinating thing about our business, is there's a lot of voices out there and people who do things that everybody watches, but like they don't know who they are. Well, here's your chance to meet somebody tonight who has some really cool stuff going on in his career and some great advice, and... So stay tuned for that in
behind
just a
the
little
scenes.
Bit while. That's right. And we got a few more things to talk about. We're going to talk about mic technique. And if you got a question, I can never say this enough, put it in the chat room. And Paul Stefano, who is running our chat room tonight, will throw that our way, because we thrive on your home voiceover studio tech questions as well as questions for our guests.
Yes, we do.
So anyway, with that out of the way, it's now time for...
VOBS, VoiceOver Extra News. All the information you need for a successful voiceover career.
And here is the VoiceOver Extra News for July 31st, 2018. Mouse editing. Now, does that mean like, you know, anyway. Here's an interesting idea for speeding up the VoiceOver editing process. Get your fingers chasing a gaming mouse. The idea is transfer the functions you do on a keyboard to a mouse with multiple keys.
And if you're a gaming nerd, as VO Pro Neil K. Hess admits to be, this could be a simple deal. In a new article now at voiceoverextra.com, Neil explains that when he started in VO a number of years ago, he felt that editing was consuming too much of his time, taking him away from the mic.
So Neil let his gaming mouse into the studio, and what resulted was a shaving of half the time he would otherwise be spending on editing. Here's what he does. Using Adobe Audition, excellent, as the recording editing software, and a Logitech G602 gaming mouse, which has multiple keys that you can set to do a variety of functions.
For instance, on the mouse, Neil's G7 key is used to record. His G8 key gets him to clean up and compression. The G9 is his key to cut, and so on. In the article, Neil explains how to customize the mouse and create your own settings. While Neil uses Adobe Audition, he believes you should be able to do this with almost any DAW and most gaming mice.
You can get a good gaming mouse for less than $50, Neil adds, and which could quickly pay for itself in the amount of editing time this will save you. Even if you're not a gaming nerd, you might want to give this a try. This article and hundreds more are on VoiceOver Extra, all sorts of voiceover topics, your daily resource for voiceover success. Now, that's something that a lot of people have. Everybody does it a little bit differently.
I know. It's a very custom kind of thing to do.
Yeah. You know, I use a magic mouse with Adobe Audition. You know, zoom, scroll, boom, boom, boom. It's all finger movements and stuff.
Yeah, gestures.
And I have maybe one or two keystrokes that I use for, you know, for reducing the volume or doing those sorts of things. Maybe an M key for mark. So, I mean, you do what works for you.
And, that's right. I'm a trackpad user.
I'm using
the trackpad here. I use this at home. I use it on my MacBook because guess what? If you have a MacBook, that's what's built into
that's
it.
That's what you got.
So you're kind of stuck with it. So I've kind of gotten used to using trackpad. The smart gaming mouse thing, it's just another way to go about using keyboard shortcuts.
Right.
So for him, I don't know. I'd be curious to know what his left hand's doing. When his right hand,
maybe we don't want to know.
Assuming he is right-handed, if his right hand is on the mouse, I wonder what his left hand is doing. So if he's doing all those things with the right hand, the thing that seems difficult to me would be to remember what keys are programmed into the gaming mouse, because you don't have enough keys to do every function.
Right.
So you have to, that would be tough to keep track. Again, it's very personal. There's also the Shuttle Pro.
Right.
We've talked about the Shuttle Pro.
Little thing. That's turning the wheel on
that
thing.
So that's sort of like a dedicated control surface for editors that give you a whole bunch of programmable keys and then a shuttle control for fast forward rewind. Another take on the same idea. So if you find yourself constantly clicking your mouse, then going to a drop down menu, clicking there, scrolling down to copy, then going to the next place where you need to paste, then going to the edit menu, clicking, and clicking paste, it might be time to learn some keyboard shortcuts or some mouse shortcuts.
Right. There really isn't a whole lot you should be doing, though. It's edit, know where the marks are, boom, 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 boom.
And the thing is, if you know a lot of keyboard shortcuts from word processing,
right?
If you know Control-C or Command-C for copy, Control-C, Command-V on the Mac for paste, guess what? That works in your DAW.
It works in,
I don't know about Pro Tools, but it works in Twisted Wave, it works in SoundForge, it works in Audition.
Yeah.
So, learn your keyboard shortcuts, kids. Either the keyboard or the mouse, whatever it is, learn some.
Something that will speed you up.
It will speed you up.
Okay. So, tech update this week.
Mm-hmm.
I get to do it this week.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Yes. I was in very steamy Philadelphia. I mean, it was 103 in my backyard here today. There was about 85 and about 95% humidity.
Yeah. the heat index.
It was like, you know, nasty, what Philadelphia is like being from the Philadelphia
area.
Sure
you do.
It's like walking into a hot sponge.
Feels like you're wearing a suit of concrete.
Yeah.
Or concrete.
Yeah. And there are a couple of interesting things, like waiting outside the Reading Terminal for a party, and there's a cloudburst while we're all waiting to go
that's
in.
Even more exciting.
Oh, yeah. Apparently it's been fun weather in
Philadelphia. You're moist, but then it's dry afterwards.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a win-win.
Yes. Well, anyway, I was at Podcast Movement, and which was a convention of people who do podcasts. Now, if most of you are familiar with going to a voiceover convention, which are a lot of fun, like FAFCON or VO Atlanta or one of those, where there might be 500 of our cohorts there.
Mm-hmm.
There were 2,500 people at this conference. It was huge.
And this is not a fan conference.
No,
this is
a
podcast.
This is people
conference.
Who are doing podcasts
or
want to do podcasts.
Right.
And so I was there doing some technical advising with people. We had 5 Hey, Aren't You Dan Leonard sightings.
Hey!
Which was
kind of pretty
cool.
Neat.
It was.
Yeah. You
know, I mean, it's at the voiceover conventions, I know everybody.
Right.
This was fresh faces.
Very cool.
It was like, hey, it's great that you watch.
Awesome. We're on the radar.
Yes. But from a technical perspective, while everybody's wanting to get to the tech stuff, there were a lot of manufacturers there. And I'm doing reviews of their products. And the interesting thing was, is they were all drooling. Because there are 2,500 podcasters. To many of them, except for the people who are making software specific to podcasting, and some of it is okay, and some of it is, you know, kind of contrived, the people who know how to record have a better way of doing these things. But there were Adobe was there, and Yellowtech, and Shure, and
Neumann Sennheiser.
Of course, they were there.
They were there,
yes.
Any booth manufacturers?
There was one, our good friend Adil at vocalboothtogo.com.
Cool.
Yeah, and he has something that he's working on. It was interesting talking to the manufacturers because they were looking wide-eyed at all these people. They had no idea. Some of them had somewhat of an idea that this market even existed. And it's so much bigger than voiceover, probably not as big as music, which, of course, all this stuff is designed for.
Whole another world, yeah.
Yeah, but here's another huge market that they're going after. One of the people who really was having a great time was our friend Roger Cloud, who makes the Cloud Lifter. Maybe you're familiar with that.
He makes a really high-end ribbon mic, but then he makes this product that's a good accompaniment to a ribbon mic or a dynamic mic.
Right.
That's very affordable. A lot of podcasters use dynamic mics.
Right.
This thing boosts the output a lot, like 25 dB.
Yeah. A real popular mic with podcasters is the SM7B, and some use an RE20, and Roger's like, it's the perfect thing. And we're like, you know, and I also have one of his t-shirts. So I had to mention his name tonight.
He's a good guy.
Oh, right. Oh, he was great. He came and found me, which was great.
Yeah.
And, but some other interesting software people that have stuff that's just for podcasting. But the equipment's all the same. It's all the same stuff, except, you know, people tend to use, dynamic mics. For a closer radio type read.
Right. They like that radio-ish sound.
I guess. So that was one major takeaway from this. The other major takeaway for you voice actors out there, and as somebody who listens to a lot of podcasts, and I know you do.
I do.
Because you're in the car a lot. I'm stuck here in the studio 37 hours a day. And it's like, I don't get to listen to any of this stuff.
Yeah.
There's a crossover here, and the crossover is that people who are voice actors, they could learn a lot from podcasters, and it's something that the podcasters don't even know they're doing, and that is that podcasting is generally, for the most part, off script. It's usually somewhat ad-libbed, or somebody has a story they want to tell, and they might be working off notes, or they might be reading it, but for the most part, the podcasts that I've listened to, it's like, hi, I'm so-and-so, and here's my story for this week. And they just start talking, and if you're able to relate a story, it's a great delivery.
Do minimal ums and uhs and, you know.
Yeah, but it's natural speech.
Yeah.
And it can have the ums and ahs and stuff like that.
That's true.
And I think that voice actors could learn a lot from instead of being very formal in how they present things, to relax and just deliver it that way. And I met a lot of people, you know, who are excited about podcasting or have been podcasting. The other interesting thing is that I think, you know, having some vision into the future, I see great opportunity for voice actors with podcasting because it's a total fork in the road from broadcasting. And meaning that some of the major networks, the major radio networks like Westwood One and several others, are starting their own curated podcast networks, which means advertising. And there were some major advertising executives there that are like, you know, we're going to have curated networks. You know, we know that there are shows on World War II. There are shows on makeup. There are shows on making ice cream or food or something like that. There's a bunch of different varieties of shows. I mean, it's everything. I mean,
yeah.
But they can categorize them and they can bulk sell those advertisements to major advertisers, meaning that there's advertising dollars available to podcasts that are picked up on their networks.
Right.
Thing is everybody's got a podcast and it's the Wild West. There's no rules.
No, I know. It's not broadcast. It's not FCC regulated yet.
Yet. Yeah.
Well, we'll see. And you can do pretty much whatever you want, whatever format you want, no matter how long or short, quality, anything you want. Live, scripted, anything you want. It's just, it's a party.
Yeah. So people, you're taking everything you can, throwing it against the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
So try doing a podcast.
Yeah. I mean, if you've got something you're an enthusiast, something you're extremely knowledgeable about, something you can talk about off the cuff without a ton of scripting.
Yeah.
It's a good way to go. I do listen to podcasts that are clearly scripted. And that's fine if they're very tightly produced, like very short.
Right.
I don't mind if they're scripted that way because it means they've put a lot of thought into what they're wanting to get out there and they're trying to hit a certain time frame. And that I don't mind. A short scripted podcast sometimes can be good.
Right.
But generally, most of them are not so scripted.
Right.
Some of them are very highly produced.
Right.
Like the other one that I do, the Pro Audio Suite, way not scripted. But very well produced. Like the production values are very high. A lot of editing happens after the show.
Right.
You know, what you hear on that show is not what goes out on the air. Right.
Right.
So many ways to go about it.
Cool.
Yeah.
I got to listen to more of them.
Was there any gear that really stood out? Was there one thing that just like, oh, that's cool. I hadn't seen that thing before.
There was a piece of software called Hindenburg.
Oh, yeah.
Which,
it's one of those things I've known about it, but it's never really like...
That I found fascinating. It's a niche product for radio drama, for producing, you know...
A story.
Creating
a story
with sound effects and all those things like that.
Run tonight on the air or something.
Right. And it's just formatted a little bit differently, and it was interesting. So I can't wait to do a full review of that and check it out and put it on another new website I have, podcastkits.com.
So you heard it here, folks.
Yes.
First, folks.
All righty. Okay. Well, we've got lots of stuff coming up. Again, if you got a tech question for us, a home voiceover studio tech question, throw it in the chat room and we'll get to it in our next segment. And we're going to talk about mic techniques. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
And now we return to those thrilling days of yesteryear and we find our heroes, Sheriff Dan and Marshal George, on a dusty stakeout at VoiceOver Gulch. Let's see what drama is about to take place.
This is the Latin lover narrator from Jane the Virgin, Anthony Mendez, and you're enjoying Dan and George on the VoiceOver Body Shop.
You know, there's two types of people in the world. Those just getting started in VoiceOver and those who are established. But want more work, don't we all? VO2GoGo has got you covered. If just getting started in VoiceOver, VO2GoGo's Getting Started in VoiceOver class is a deep dive into exactly how to do it right, with video lessons taught by David H. Lawrence XVII. Downloads, homework, quizzes, and actual on-mic work. And the price is right. It's absolutely free. Just go to vo2gogo.com/start and you'll get instant access to the class. That's vo2gogo.com/start. Now, If you're already a working voiceover talent and you want more work, then VO2GoGo's Pro Program is for you. This is the most comprehensive, complete voiceover support system in the world, with classes, workouts, private coaching, demo production, and more, teaching you the art, the commerce, and the science of voiceover. If that sounds like it was built for you, guess what? It was. And you can get instant membership at vo2gogo.com/pro. That's vo2gogo.com/pro. Getting started or going pro, go to vo2gogo.com now. It's everything you need to be a successful voiceover talent.
As a voice talent, you have to have a website. But what a hassle getting someone to do it for you. And when they finally do, they break or don't look right on mobile devices. They're not built for marketing and SEO. They're expensive. You have limited or no control. And it takes forever to get one built and go live. So what's the best way to get you online in no time? Go to voiceactorwebsites.com. Like our name implies, voiceactorwebsites.com just does websites for voice actors. We believe in creating fast, mobile-friendly, responsive, highly functional designs that are easy to read and easy to use. You have full control. No need to hire someone every time you want to make a change. And our upfront pricing means you know exactly what your costs are ahead of time. You can get your voiceover website going for as little as $700. So if you want your voice actor website without the hassle of complexity and dealing with too many options, go to voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
And we're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. VoiceOver. We think of it as it's our own little world, but there's more out there.
It's got fingers in the different industries,
yes,
for sure.
This is true. Now, if you're getting started in VoiceOver or you've been doing it for a while and you're mystified by these guys, you know, the microphone and all the things that we have here that we do voiceover with, you got two guys that actually know how to do it right. There are a lot of engineers out there.
Tons.
There are recording engineers. They work in studios. They are fabulous. They're mostly musicians as well.
There's a show called Mike Pensado or Pensado's Place. If that's what you're into, go there, geek your brains out.
Right.
But we are focused on one thing.
A home voiceover studio, which is a unique environment. They didn't exist 15 years ago. Maybe, you know, some niche guy had a big Atari reel-to-reel.
Bo Weaver, and there was Don LaFontaine.
Right.
Bo is FedExing reel-to-reels around.
Yeah, taking
in the 80s.
Putting them in an envelope and sending them out.
Now not it's many like else
MP3. Right.
That's right.
It's a lot easier, but the basics of recording are still the same.
Mm-hmm.
And we teach that. We help you get started. And we can fix stuff when it breaks.
Troubleshoot things, create processing, design a studio from the ground up, set up acoustic designs, all kinds of stuff.
Right. And the longer we've been doing it, the better we've gotten at it. So that's the best part about this whole thing. Yeah, wait, we've been doing it for 15 years. It's you figure you're going to learn something sooner or later.
God.
If they wanted to help themselves, it's hard to do because you can crowdsource your stuff, and that's a bad idea.
You can. It's very time-consuming
yes.
to do it that way.
Yeah. So the best thing to do is either go to Mr. Whittem here at...
Right over at georgethetech.com is where you can find me and my world of voiceover technology. And if you're a podcaster, I can help you set up a killer-sounding podcast chain and also teach you production technique to speed things along. So anything, acoustics, all that stuff, I can create your presets at georgethetech.com. Dan also does a lot of that same stuff over at home voiceover studio.com.
That's right. Yeah. And of course, I'm getting into the podcasting thing, and I can do all that stuff for you as well. And
we have 7 years of actual real world podcasting
experience
having done this show. That might be helpful to you.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this as a podcast, you know we know how to do it. Because you're listening to it as you're driving down some highway somewhere. Anyway, so we'd like to help you out, and there's so many things we can do for you. So find us at our websites and let us know that you need some help.
Cool. A couple of questions have popped into
yes.
Should we talk mic technique first?
We'll answer the questions first,
cool.
But then we'll get into mic technique.
Right.
Devox, he says, Huge podcasting market. So does that mean that maybe there will be more competition in the medium low end for equipment?
Yeah, I would say definitely.
Oh, yeah.
I was talking to the guy from Focusrite, one of the developers there. This was a great conference.
Oh, man.
And he came up to me and he's like, this is an amazing market. Is there something that, you know, that we're not doing at Focusrite that could help these people more? And I said, well, you could have something like, you know, what Yamaha's got with the AG03 or AG06 with a loop back and maybe, you know, come up with, and the guy was like, yeah, that's what you want to see in a developer. Yeah.
That's cool that you were seeing some of the guys that are involved in the nuts and bolts of these products and the development of these products.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Because, yeah, if they came out with a Scarlett that was centered more towards what VO and podcasters do,
right.
Could be pretty killer.
Yeah. So I see, yeah, Devox, I think there's some major league stuff coming that way.
Yeah.
Maybe some AAA stuff.
Yeah, right? I've seen some stuff come out from Yamaha, like we said. There's some gear out there that tries to target that podcast, webcast market. But there's a lot more to come, I'm sure, as this market grows and they start to pay attention. So stay tuned.
All right.
Well,
there's a question here. It's not really tech related. This is a new viewer from Australia. Somebody having lunch.
All right. Enjoying his over lunch.
Yes.
Nice.
He's an American, though. All right. Mm-hmm. Not an Aussie. Can you list some sites to find work? I've been doing work for the last few years. 2, is it appropriate to make contact with the client if I was contacted by the broadcaster, i.e. I was contacted by CNN and the client only wanted me to do ask CNN or try contact directly? Dude, great typing there. Don't want to step on toes. The job is done. I just want a client to have my info.
All right. Should we do the first question first?
Yeah. Where do you go? You know, there's, again, it's my favorite metaphor. It's like mints in the checkout line at the supermarket, or whatever they call them in Australia now.
The convenience aisle, you mean?
Yeah, well, no, when you're just going through the checkout
line. The impulse line.
Right, exactly.
The impulse line.
All the gum, all the mints, you know, maybe an occasional Kind bar, you know, if you want to be healthy. And then, but you've got the pay-to-plays, you know, we won't mention any specific names, because there's a lot more of them now than there were a few years ago. Where you pay to be on a roster and you get to audition for stuff. And that's okay. The people who are really successful in this business, T-Man, are the people who do their own self-marketing. They send out the postcards. They're making phone calls. They're sending emails. They are networking.
Walking into local businesses, literally.
Hey, do you happen to need a voiceover? Why, what's that?
You'd be surprised that it can happen.
So that's our advice to you on that sort of thing.
If you're watching a commercial, you know, a local commercial for some product, or listening to a local commercial, and it's, you're listening to it going, oh, this is terrible. The voiceover is terrible. That could be a prime business to contact.
Right.
You know, and market directly to them.
Yeah. Do you see the email today about the plosive in a commercial?
It was
sent out to our group, and it was a national commercial, and there was a plosive, but it was talking about peas. And Jordan Reynolds was like, I'm embarrassed by this. It wasn't him, but it's like, well, what do you want for 60
you mean
cent
like
a pancake?
Peas, like in a little pea pod, that kind of peas?
No, it was a plosive pea. He was talking about, you have to see the commercial. Maybe we'll post it and you guys can see it all for yourself.
So the other part was, is it appropriate to make contact with a client if I was contacted by the broadcaster? I'm a little unclear about the question.
Yeah, that must be an Australian thing there, because generally the client is, you're going to be contacted by the client or the client's client.
Or the agent.
Or the agent.
That's casting you or something
right.
like that.
So that's kind of a hard one to answer.
Yeah, so I don't have a good answer for that one.
Yeah, try to specify a little bit more on that.
Yeah.
All right, a little bit on mic technique. Well, a couple extra seconds here.
Yeah, our guest is ready to go. So
yeah. Mic technique is vital. I always talk about how
so vital.
You know, acoustics are important. Acoustics are prime as far as I'm concerned.
Number one.
Number two is mic technique. Because if you got a really expensive mic, if you use it wrong, it's going to show how wrong you're using it.
Yes.
So there are standard ways to use a mic. Now, I've got my 416 here.
How convenient.
It is convenient. And a 416, which is very, very popular with people these days. It's not cheap, but there's a reason it's not cheap, because it's really good. But if you use a 416, you don't, I mean, unless you're doing promo, you don't talk right into the front of it. But you have it at about a 30-degree angle to your chest, and you talk underneath it. And by doing that, you don't make any plosives.
You can't pop the mic if you're the mic is out of the pop zone.
Right. You'll notice there's never a plosive on this show.
No.
Because our mic is up here.
Now, you're probably wondering, why do we get away with having the mic so darn far away?
How do we do that, George?
How the heck do we do that? Well, the reason we get away with it is because our acoustics are so well done and our room is big.
Yeah.
And we have a large space around the mic and very well-tuned acoustics. Yes, you get to have less tight mic placement.
Right.
When you have the inverse of that, which most of you do, when you have a really small booth, very small with minimal acoustic treatment or, you know, 1-inch or 2-inch foam on the walls and that's about it, guess what? Your mic placement has to be really spot on. There's a very small sweet spot where the mic's going to sound good.
Right.
So it makes it harder on you. You know, when you get to go into a professional commercial studio with all this space, you get to have so much more room to work
room
the mic.
To gesticulate I did this afternoon.
It's so nice. But those home studios take really good, really tight mic placement.
Right. But if you've got, you know, with a normal home studio mic, you know, with a good studio condenser mic, like the Harlan Hogan VO1A here.
Yeah.
A little extra plug there. You should be like about this distance from it. And the bottom of the mic, it should be upside down. And the bottom of the mic should be at about eye level. Because our ears and can we lower this?
I'll drop it into frame so it's a little bit more visible to you guys.
Okay. Can we do that? No, I think you're at its maximum.
I think we're like really as far out as we can go.
That's far out, man. Okay. Oh, there we go. Oh, thank you, Sue. Okay.
There's the
bottom of the mic. So the way I would normally address it is, again, eye level at the bottom, copy down underneath here, and I can go Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers all day long, and it's going to sound just fine. You don't need a pop screen.
Yeah.
That's so Celine Dion doesn't spit on a mic too much.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of tradition around that, and people think that, you know, because I see a pop screen in all the pictures. You don't really need one.
But I'll tell you, I was at a studio, what was it called? Studio B in the RCA studio down in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And there's pictures of artists and video and archival films of artists singing into a U47 or the U67.
Right.
Super sensitive, very high-end mic. These guys could work that mic and never pop it.
Right.
No pop screens because they knew mic technique. They had it dialed. So learn your mic technique.
All right, we're rolling on here. Well, Chris Edgerly is standing by, and we'll be talking to him in just a minute and finding out some cool stuff. So stay tuned. We'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success. In one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the home studio master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the home studio master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
Hey everybody, this is a little spot we do every show for our friends over at Source Elements, the creators of Source Connect, the great software that allows you to connect your studio to pro studios all around the world. Studios that want your talent and they want to have it now. They don't want to wait for you to send in files. They don't want to wait for you to record. They want to direct you, and they want to get your audio on their computer now. That's what you can do with Source Connect, because it's recording your voice via the internet in extremely high quality. It's indiscernible from being right there in the same studio, and it's proven technology. It's been around now for over 10 years. If you want to give it a try, go over to source-elements.com, and you can get a 15-day free trial of Source Connect Standard. You don't have to have one of those little USB iLock dongle-y things anymore to use Source Connect Standard. You can use it right away. Give it a shot. Tell them that we sent you, and we really appreciate their support over at Source Elements. We'll be right back with Dan and our guest Chris right after this.
You're watching VOBS.TV. I don't know why. It's crazy what they do here. I think I'm going to go somewhere else and have a cheese sandwich.
All right, it's time to introduce our guest who is waiting patiently after getting his kids all clean. Perhaps most recognized for voicing various animated characters on The Simpsons, Chris Edgerly has a sweeping vocal portfolio that spans animated television and multiple hit video games. He's even made a few television appearances, including Hot in Cleveland, The King of Queens, Sequest 2032, and Kenan and Kel. Oh, great show. While Chris enjoys his time on screen, he's at his best when lending his vocal talents to animated television, movie, and video game roles. He's also been doing stand-up comedy, or at least did for about 10 years, which is going to be fun to talk about. And he also has a web show that he does with his brother. We're going to talk about all those things. Please welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop, Chris Edgerly. Hey.
Hello.
There he is. All right.
Should I do an English accent just in case people think I actually am the Chris Edgerly?
Yeah, I made a slight error yesterday when I was putting the promo together, and I'm like, oh, a picture of Chris Edgerly. He says, oh, here's the picture. You know, there's all these pictures on the internet. This guy looks exactly like you.
I'm going to say he looks like me because I'm older than him. I know that.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I could have just come on and just tried to roll with it. Hello.
Yeah, no, man. Yeah, now we got an email saying, no, that's some British guy who has some kids show in England. I'm like, and his name is Chris Edgerly. Who knew?
Well, thanks for being good. Wherever he is, I hope he's working.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to know you are. So tell us a little bit more about yourself. I mean, I talked a little bit about those sorts of things. How did you get into this amazingly weird business we're in?
You know, everybody's got a different pathway into VO, as we like to call it. But I think almost everybody at some point that does the kind of work I do, like the wide range of voices, I think it all starts in childhood when you discover that you can amuse and irritate those around you.
Why, of course.
Yeah. And I discovered that early on. I had two older brothers, and later I had a younger brother, and I would amuse my friends, my family, my classmates, and then eventually around college, I decided to try stand-up. And once I did that, I integrated the voices into my stand-up act and then pretty much was on my way. I mean, it was a circuitous route. And I spent more time doing professional stand-up comedy in the beginning. And that's where I was really beginning to take off. But I got tired of the road. And I used to live in Orlando, Florida. I moved from Savannah, Georgia, my hometown, to Orlando to get started in show business. And I booked a lot of random acting gigs, you know, that's where the Kenan and Kel and Sequest credits come from my time in Orlando. And then I would work as a comic. And then I gradually picked up a couple of random voiceover gigs. And then when I eventually moved to L.A., after about 10 years of being a road comic, I decided to focus mainly on just staying in Los Angeles and pursuing voiceover. I was able to land an agent. And I've always kept one foot or at least a toe in the stand-up world because the live performing is very useful. But it's really been a while for me since I've really considered myself a comic. I've been exclusively a voice actor for at least 15 years,
yeah,
I would say.
Yep. But doing stand-up, I mean,
it's a big help.
I was going to say, I mean, you build your character chops and your timing and all that stuff from doing stand-up, right?
Absolutely. I was just talking to my wife today. I'd read an article about how hard it is for veteran comedians, established comedians, to make a living in Los Angeles doing comedy, because there's not very many paid sets. And I realized that there, but for the grace of God, go I. Because if I had kept at it in L.A., I might have gotten my break. I might have gotten a Netflix special or a sitcom or something else, or I might have really hit on the road, but I would have had to travel a lot. I would have had to say goodbye to having a normal family life, which I dearly want. And my heart goes out to my stand-up brethren, because they have incredible performing chops. And it's a really valuable asset when you get into voice acting, but they can't all do voice acting. And right. So I'm glad I had all that time on stage, because as I was telling my wife, I was sort of recapping how I got into this business. I made a living as a road comic, but it wasn't a great one. But what it did do was it helped me set up the career I have in voiceover. I cannot underestimate or understate the value of all that live performing experience and how it's enabled me to do what I've been able to do in voiceover.
Yeah.
So anyone who's thinking about it, get your butt on stage and give it a try.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do stand-up, you know.
Generally,
but usually it's just over dinner and getting lots of eye rolls from my kids. My father was the same way, and it was like, you know, thanks, Dad.
Those are called dad jokes, by the way.
Yes, yeah, and I still remember some of them, which were really good. I'll tell you some later. All right, and there's a lot of famous other good voice actors who also came out of doing stand-up, like Tom Kenny,
Bill Farmer,
You know, and these guys are just amazing in how they do this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Now you're now making a living here in Hollywood, doing the commercial work. What type of commercials have you done that we might all be recognizing?
Oh, let's see. I've been doing stuff for Domino's for quite a few years, knock on wood. Mainly it's radio. I started doing TV, and as sometimes happened, my voice got replaced by another voice early on in that run, but I kept doing the radio stuff. And since 2009, I do, you know, a couple of radio spots for them every year that they run for a while. And I've done, I am very fortunate to say I cannot possibly recall all the commercials things I've done. It's been a couple of hundred different spots over the years, but, you know, Best Buy, Miller Lite, Red Hook Beer, I don't think I've ever done IKEA. All right, I'm going to go visit my website so I can tell you guys what I've done. That's how ridiculous I am about my own career.
Yeah, that's voiceover, though.
Like, yeah. Market myself. Yeah.
Yeah, always got to check up on your profile, make sure it's up to date. No, it's true. IMDb. Yeah. And
apparently, Samsung, Assassin's Creed commercial, Levi's, Best Buy, Pier 1 Imports, Purina Dog Chow, MetLife, Timberland, IHOP, Volkswagen.
Benito, oh, he's the one that popped the P. it was an IHOP commercial.
Yeah. Actually, I was going to do a quick little video about that too. You guys are, I know I can learn a lot from you guys on mic technique, because you can always learn something. But I have a trick for how to not do a peep-pop. Even if your mic technique is bad, if you don't have the mic in the right place, there's still a way to get around doing a peep-pop, but you have to do your lips just right. So it's probably just easier if you do it your way and just
yeah, well, we know lots of techniques. One, you know, you just say the P with the teeth clenched or something in front of your, you know, yeah, using the old pencil trick.
I found that if you, instead of pushing the P out, you just sort of separate your lips and just sort of push it out that way, yeah. Or just gradually, you know, just be very soft. The ear and the mind will pick up the P where it's supposed to be and do the work for you. So you can actually just sort of gently place it where you need to go. But it's just easier if you listen to Dan and George, kids.
And we'll take that endorsement. So you're also doing animation.
Yes.
And that is, you've got to really be here in LA to be doing animation, don't you?
Yeah. I would say that there are people that, like Tom Kane is an example. He's a fellow client at CESD. I think he lives in the Midwest. And I know he probably flies in occasionally, but he's a very in-demand actor, and they probably are good at working around schedules, but he'll fly in and do some animation as far as I know. But yes, if you really want to have a very busy career, whether it's voiceover, promo, animation, video games, what have you, it is ideal to live in Los Angeles. You can probably get away with doing more commercial work not living in LA, but if you're going to be doing animation, you kind of have to be here.
Yeah.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Tom Kane establish his career here, then relocate?
Likely, yeah. I don't want to talk out of school, but I'm not sure that, you know, it's kind of hard to get established if you're not here. Yeah. And the double-edged sword is it's a very expensive place to live.
Yeah. Now, how did you get into animation? You just said, I want to do animation. Or did someone say, hey, you know, you'd be really good at this? Or
kind of the way I did it, like when people ask me, how'd you get into voiceover? The real question they're asking, without knowing they're asking it, is how'd you get an agent? Because you're not going to get that far without one. If you're going to do union work, but frankly, if you want to do a lot of commercial work and a lot of animation and video games, things like that, you're going to need to be union. And you're going to need an agent, because the agent is going to open those doors for you, get the auditions that you yourself are not going to be able to get. So the way I got an agent is another circuitous answer. I can trace it back in a few steps all the way back to my time in Orlando, because I basically cold called an on-camera agency in Orlando, because you could do that in 1994 when I did it, and said, I'd love to have some representation. I've been doing stand-up. And they said, well, come on in, let's meet. And they gave me a monologue to prepare. I came back the next day, did it. They said, okay, we'll work with you. So I start going on-camera auditions. Eventually, some voiceover work comes along. They send me on voiceover auditions, and I book one or two things. And then eventually, my name gets around town, because Orlando is a smaller market, as a guy who could do lots of different voices. So next thing you know, I'm working at Sound Deluxe Studios in Orlando, doing scratch tracks for all of the villains and the heroes on the Amazing Adventures of Spider-Man theme park ride. And this is around 97. So they said, we're just getting the ride in the early stages. We want to do the soundtrack. We want to do the voices just for temp. So come up with different voices for Electro and Hydro and Dr. Octopus and all these different guys, and for Peter Parker and for J. Jonah Jameson. So I put on character voices for everybody except Spider-Man. I thought, Spider-Man's close to my age. He's a lot like me. He's kind of a smart aleck. So I just did my own voice. Well, after a few months of going in and out and doing sessions for them, the director of the ride showed up and said, how would you like to actually be Spider-Man for the ride? And J. Jonah Jameson. We cast around, and you're our favorite choice for those two. And I said, sure. So they flew me to L.A., and I recorded there with the rest of the cast that had been cast as the villains. And that went really well. It was a lot of fun. And it took a couple of years going in different stages and recording and finishing up that ride. And eventually, I moved to LA in 97. And by 99, we finished the ride. And I ended up doing, based on that, another ride for Universal, just some random voices. So I got to know the people at Universal Studios in Los Angeles. One day around 2000, they said, do you have an agent? I said, no, I'd really like one. I've been touring doing stand-up, and I'm trying to find a way to stay in town. They said, well, we know a really good agent named Pat Brady, and she is over at KSA, which is Kazarian Spencer and Associates. And they said, we'll get you a meeting with her. I said, sure. So I got a meeting with Pat. And I made a good impression on her. And she said, all right, I want you to go home and make a demo of as many voices as you can, like at least 20 or 25. And I went crazy and put like 50 voices on there. And I came back and she said, okay, let's whittle this down into a good demo and I'll sign you and we'll start working together. And to this day, I am still with Pat. That's 18 years later. And she moved up to CESD and took me and some others with her. And based on working with Pat, and her being at the right place, I got all the auditions I could ever ask for. And some of those included animated features, animated television programs, things like that. And you just eventually book certain things and you get into that world. Mm-hmm. So Long story longer. It's not a one-step process.
No.
I mean, and that's what I try to tell people is that it will not happen overnight. But the reason why I got to do the job on the Spider-Man ride was because I earned a reputation in Orlando. The reason why I got to do the permanent job on the ride, which is still running at Islands of Adventure in Orlando, is that they liked the work I did. And the reason why Universal stuck their neck out and recommended me to an agent is because I was doing good professional work for them.
Right.
So people make calls on your behalf. They open doors for you if you show that you are committed to what you're doing, that you have the chops, and that you're easy to work with. Because you can be really talented, but if you're difficult, it's going to be an obstacle.
Right. Absolutely. So. Yeah. If you're just joining us here on VoiceOver Body Shop, our guest is Chris Edgerly, who is a voice actor, does a lot of character work, does a lot of cool stuff. We're going to talk about more of those things as we move along here. Now, you also do video games. And I suppose if you're in animation, video games was a natural transition to you because it's a huge business now.
It is. And the bulk of my video games came earlier in my career because of the work I do on The Simpsons can be pretty exhaustive. So I try to save myself for that. So I do the occasional video game now. It's rarer. Like I did work on one recently that was a lot of fun. I'm not allowed to announce anything about it because everything is an NDA these days. But yes, video games and animation are close cousins, especially now because video games have become incredibly realistic. And they really love the most nuanced performance possible. But it's also still a video game. So there's a lot of drama. There's a lot of tension. There's a lot of action. You're yelling your head off, that's for sure. And yes, they do go hand in hand, a lot of the techniques.
Yeah, well, it's not easy work, you know, doing the gaming work because it is screaming and all those other things. Once again, if you've got a question for Chris Edgerly about all this stuff, and we're going to talk a little bit more about a couple other things, throw it in the chat room. Paul Stefano is in there jabbering away with all of you and getting those questions to us, and we'll get that to those in the next segment. Now you were talking about how you're on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
How do you get a gig like that?
I just wrote in, you know, I just kept writing letters and they said, fine, you're on the show.
Big fan, big fan.
Yeah. I can do funny voices. Yeah.
Yeah. That's another one where, you know, I won't go into the details of it, but it was just an opening was available. They need somebody who could do some random voices and you had to be able to show a pretty wide range and pretty specific abilities. And I got my opportunity and I made the most of it. And so that was back in 2010. That was 10 years, almost to the day after I signed with Pat Brady. And I do not lose the incredible sense of, I don't know, fate, whatever you want to call it, that 10 years to the day after she told me when she first signed me, you really do those animation voices well. Hold on to that because you never know where that'll lead. And 10 years later, I get the job of my career.
Right. You know?
And it's been an incredible run on that show. And hopefully we'll just, you know, keep going.
Yeah. 28 years they've been on now, something like that.
We're recording season 30 right now.
Oh, geez.
But yeah, that'll be. I joke that I was in college when that show started airing, and my alma mater is University of Georgia, and the Alumni Association contacted me and said, you're one of our alumni out here in SoCal. We have some interns who are getting into the media world out here, and we'd love for them to meet with you and see a little bit of what you do. And I said, let's come to a table read of The Simpsons. And I told them, I was basically your age when this show started. And I think that kind of blew their mind. It blew my mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, now you get the opportunity to work with, you know, some of the great people in the business too, like
absolutely.
Dan Castellaneta and, you know, Hank Azaria and
Harry Shearer,
yeah.
Julie Kavner, Yardley Smith,
Julie Nancy Kavner,
Barbara, Neil, Pamela Hayden.
Jeez.
Not just the best at that, but they're also really cool.
It's just
they're as nice as you can be.
Yeah, they're fun to meet too. We're going to take a little break here right now. And again, if you've got a question for Chris Edgerly about all this cool stuff, throw it in the chat room right now. We'll get to that question right after these important messages.
Style. Power.
You're watching the home of the NFL.
The all-new iPhone.
Reserve your Disney World season pass now.
Through all the runny noses, 3 in the morning coughs.
An all-new American crime story tonight on FX.
This week only, it's Pasta Fest at Olive Garden.
Heart rate? Prime. Blood pressure? Perfect.
I grew up with the classics, and now with StubHub, I can get authentic tickets to the best shows.
The all-new Chevy Cruze from $16,995.
Be inspired, then get the beauty that's uniquely yours at Sephora.
This week at Home Depot, it's our Garden Fest sale with up to 30% off all garden tools, sod, and seeds.
Hi, it's J. Michael Collins, and these are just a few examples of the first-class demos my team and I are producing. If you'd like to have something similar, visit jmcvoiceover.com and click on the Demo Production tab to find out more.
You know, every Monday I have to talk to Harlan Hogan, which is a pleasure. Because he's like, here's what I want you to talk tonight on your show tonight. So he wanted to mention, interestingly, the voiceover resource guide, which appears in several cities. But here in L.A., it's put out by Dave Sebastian Williams and his wife, Terry. And it lists everything that you could possibly need in the voiceover world, including you and me and our show and all that kind of stuff. Usually you go into a studio or one of the casting lounges and it's sitting there.
That's right.
And you should probably subscribe to it. And VoiceOver Resource Guide is really cool, you know, and which is why I advertise in there. As does VoiceOverEssentials.com, Harlan Hogan's company, because he knows that you guys read it and he knows that you guys need the stuff that he has, like the Porta Booth. Porta Booth, we've shown it on the show many times. Yeah, it just packs up. You can put all your stuff into it and, you know, your computer, your microphone, your cables, and you unfold it, and suddenly you've got a voiceover studio wherever you are. Mm-hmm. If you're in the Antarctic, you could use that. I doubt you'd have internet, but at least you'd sound good doing it. But he's got the Pro and the Plus, and they're great for when you're on the road. And, you know, sometimes some people are real obsessive about recording on the road. If you've got to have something good there, a Porta Booth Pro or a Porta Booth Plus is probably the thing you should have. And the place you can get it is voiceoveressentials.com. And it being summer and people doing lots of traveling, it's a good time to have one. And if you don't have one, go buy one now at voiceoveressentials.com. All you got to do, if you want to see which one would work best for you, is go to the bottom of our homepage here where you're watching this very show and click on the icon of Harlan Hogan. And it will take you right to voiceoveressentials.com, and you'll see the demonstration of the Porta Booth Plus and the Porta Booth Pro and why they are perfect for you. So go over there right now and buy that and everything else he has on that page. Harlan will be most appreciative. Anyway, thanks for being our sponsor for 7.5 years, Harlan. We'll be right back with Chris Edgerly, so stay tuned.
Hey guys, this is Tom, also known as the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants, and you want to fill your ear holes and your eye holes with Dan and George and the Audio Body Shop. Ah! Meow. Snails like it too.
Speaking of Tom Kenny, anyway, we're talking with Chris Edgerly, and we're talking about the wide range of voice work that you do. But, you know, when you do all this work, it's like, you don't want to get pigeonholed into certain things. Sometimes you want to take control of your own career, or you want to create content. And you've done this with your brother David, who is an animator. Tell us a little bit about this company you've started and what you're doing with it.
Yeah, we're called Edgy Brothers. You know, Edgerly, Edgy, ha ha. Yeah, I know. Wah, wah. But my brother and I have always been pretty good collaborators, and I like to write the stuff, and he gives me good notes on it, and I do the funny voices, and then he's a really talented artist, and he taught himself animation, and he was even mentored for a bit by a Disney animator years ago, so he's learned some really good skills, and he taught himself this computer animation program, And so what I would do is just send him a funny voice and he'd animate to it, and back and forth we went. We thought, let's just create some shorts, just some fun stuff just for us and see if anyone else likes it. And I asked him, what's the easiest thing for you to animate? And he said, something with no arms or legs.
Or a neck.
Yeah. I said, all right, inanimate objects it is. And we just thought, you know, he also has as a day job, he used to work in bars a lot, bartending. We thought, how about we just have bar glasses talking to each other? And he said, okay, yeah, I can do that. And he started rendering these glasses, and I would just think, all right, I'm just going to do each glass will be a celebrity voice. So the martini glass is Peter O'Toole, and the tall Collins glass is Jeff Goldblum, and the short shot glass is Martin Scorsese. The beer mug is, or the beer pint is Gary Busey, and the hurricane glass is Harvey Fierstein. So those were my celebrity jumping off points to come up with character voices for these. So we just called it happy hour, and it's all these glasses just sort of talking to each other and comparing notes on their lives and just, you know, it, whatever misadventures you can get them into in about 90 seconds or less. Right. And we had a lot of fun making it. We made about 8 of them, and we put those up. We have clean versions and not safe for work versions. And the not safe for work versions you can see on Patreon if you just sort of give us like $1. Then great.
Then you get the dirty stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You get the stuff Ma and Pa watch when the kids done been put to bed, so as they say.
So
the versions I won't show my kids. Like, all right, that's what you get to see. And then and then now we're coming up with a new idea. Like, we'll go back and do more happy hour episodes after we come up with a new idea, because the whole point is, our company is really about whatever Dave and I can come up with and animate and throw out there. And when we're bored, we start something new. So we started doing Kickstarter campaigns for decks of cards. And we had a lot of success doing that, but it's very tedious getting the cards made and shipping them out to all your backers. Some of them were in China and Russia, and it's a headache. So we thought, let's make virtual content. Let's make digital content. That way we can just make it and put it up. And that's what this is now. So Edgy Brothers Presents, it's basically edgybrothers.com. And it's whatever animated short has seized our fancy. And right now, Happy Hour are the completed shorts we have. And we're working on a new idea that we're really enthusiastic about. And as soon as we get something cranking, we'll let you guys know.
Great. You know, it is great having an animator in the family.
Yeah.
You know, my son's an animator, and I get to be in those, and it's great fun. And I take it you just like, well, do you write it out, or you're just like, well, what would this guy say in this situation, and then just roll with it?
Right. This is also where the stand-up background comes in. A lot of it I just sort of write on the fly. But what I'll do is I'll talk to Dave and say, here's my idea. What if the glasses wanted to learn about soccer and they saw these British beer pints standing nearby? What would that conversation go like? And he said, all right, that's good, try this or this. And I just step into my booth here right behind me.
Yeah.
And I just start kind of going with it. I just imagine how the conversation might go, and then I type out a few more ideas, and I only need to make it about a minute or so, but it still needs to have a structure. It's got to have a setup and a punchline. It's got to have a premise. And then you have to fulfill that premise. And hopefully there's a little bit of a pivot or a misdirection. So as long as those beats get hit, then it doesn't have to be something that precisely follows a script. It's got to be something that I find funny. And when I send it to Dave, he's got to laugh at it. And if he thinks, you know, it doesn't kill me, what about this or this, then I do it again. And so we kind of make stuff that we find funny, and we just hope that other people agree.
Right. All right. And everybody should be trying to create some of their own content if they're bored or absolutely. Something. If you can create that stuff and it's funny or it's good or it's, you know, that sort of thing, don't limit yourself to just reading scripts.
See, right.
It helps you create your own creative chops, which is really important. Well, are you ready for a couple of questions from our vast audience all over the world, including Australia, where it's after lunch now? Mr. Whittem, you take the control of the question-gram here.
You got it, sir. Okay, the first one that I'm seeing coming in, we've got a few of them from one of our great audience members who's been consistently with us for a while now, Thomas Machen. The first one that came in from Thomas is agents. Are they worth the effort, or is it just more effective to just keep doing your own marketing?
Well, the answer is yes and yes. Agents are absolutely worth the effort because they will open doors for you that you just will not be able to open on your own. I could not have gotten on the Fox lot without my agent. That's just 100% true. A bad agent is not worth it, but you won't know you have a bad agent until you're with them for a bit and you realize you're not getting the work you want or they're just not representing you the way you should be. And then you amicably part ways and move on. I've been extremely lucky. I've never had a bad agent. In LA here, I've had Pat. Pat has taken me to CESD and everybody there is awesome. So it's been great. However, the agents will also tell you, we can only do so much for you. We would really appreciate it if you would also market yourself and help us help you. So a good agent will also advise you to get on social media, build a following, engage with people that might know your work and appreciate what you do, and tweet about your comings and goings. I mean, it's amazing, but when I go like to the Warner Brothers lot or to somewhere on the Fox lot or to some studio, and I tweet a picture of me outside the booth before I record, people love that. And to me, it's just an every, you know, it's just sort of something I do, but people really get into that. They want to see what it is you're doing and they want to pick up any tidbits you might have of advice. And that is self-marketing. My agency cannot do it all for me. So it is worth it to have one. And it's also worth it to bust your hump getting your own name out there. They need help. They can't do it all for you. So it sounds like a sort of a vague in-between answer, but both are true.
Well, this there's another thing that dovetails off of that. I've just been reading through the questions from Thomas. Obviously, the agent is worth it. So he's saying, you know, the process you went through to get an agent nearly 20 years ago, is it any different now, do you think? Are you going to go about a different way now to find an agent than you did 20 years ago?
It's first of all, you're probably not going to be able to cold call an agent and get a meeting, right? That was maybe never true in Los Angeles, and it was only occasionally true in Orlando. I have no idea what that market's even like. I can speak from my own experience, but I can say this: build your resume as much as you can on your own. If you're not getting access to work, then of course it's a double-edged sword. How do I get an agent if I don't have any work to show the agent that I'm good? That means it's all on your demo. Agents will listen to a demo, but even then, they won't use the demo as the sole reason to sign you. A demo is really going to get you a meeting with an agent, because what the agency is going to do is they're going to sit you down and give you copy, and they're going to read you and direct you, and they're going to see how well you do at taking direction, how quickly you can take the copy and interpret it and give it your own voice, and how sharp you are. What's your technique? You know, can you pick it up quickly? If you have those attributes, then you should be able to put together a pretty good demo, and then you should be able to get to that agency, sit in their booth, and give them what they need within two or three takes. Because your demo could be amazing, but if it took you 50 takes to do it, it's not so amazing. Because on the day you're hired for a job, they don't have all day. They need you to get it and get it quickly. And so if you get a great demo together, that's step one. Then play it for anybody. I mean, I don't have much time to do this anymore, but people have sent me demos to listen to just for advice, and I'll take a minute and listen. And I try not to be brutal. I just tell them where they're strong and where they could work on, you know, a couple of things. But the people that I have walked into my agency and gotten meetings on their behalf because they already had a resume, they still had to meet with the agents. They had to sit in the booth. They had to get copy, and they had to show that they knew what they were doing. And these are people with established on-camera careers. So it sounds really daunting, and it is, but I tell everybody the same thing. There is absolutely no reason why you can't work your butt off, get an agent like I got one, prove yourself to them, and start working as a professional. No reason that won't happen.
All right. Next question is from Devox, and he says, what are some good ways to keep multiple voices straight, especially when they're in the same scene? And can you give us a little example of that?
Well, I assume they mean if you're doing some kind of project where you're doing two or three voices and they're all in the same scene with each other.
Yeah.
I guess
that's
what he's talking about. Well, ideally, what you're going to do is you're going to do a separate take for each character.
Of course.
Now, I'm very, very fortunate to witness the great Dan Castellaneta go from Homer Simpson to Grandpa Simpson to Krusty the Clown all within about 5 seconds.
Wow.
Whoa.
Career bird. He can do it. Billy West, I've heard, I've seen him do it too. He can. Some people can just go down the page and pivot, you know. And I can kind of do something like that as well. But, you know, when they give you a chance to do one character per take, and a lot of times in that situation, you'll get to do that, then really it's just practice. And if the characters are distinct enough, then there should be technical things you're doing with your voice to be able to differentiate them. So if I was doing a guy that was from sort of backwoods Appalachia and he's, you know, chewed tobacco his whole life, well, as soon as I sort of had him speaking to a received pronunciation Brit, there were a couple of technical things I'd do with my voice. And then, of course, if I was going to be someone who was a bit more like the Queen Mother, well, then I'd go to the different part of my brain that accesses it. You see what I mean?
You're a champ, dude. Yeah, you are a trooper for pulling out that on the spot.
Well, look, some of it's technique, but some of it is if you're just creating your own content, just cut and then all one, you know, one character, and then play them back, get them in your head and say, all right, I'm going to play off this person now. And then boom, put your mind where it needs to be to do the second character. If you're practiced enough, yeah, you can do them all in one. I mean, some of that's stand-up training. I used to go on stage and throw out as many voices as I could do in 5 minutes, and it's a fun parlor trick and all that. But what it is a technique. And technique is how you keep them all straight. Just be technically faithful to each voice, and it'll happen.
Hope that works. Thank you, man. That's fantastic. Richard Harris, he has a question for you. What is the right way to put together a character voice demo?
Okay. Good question. There are different ideas on this. I'm sure you guys have your own thoughts on this too, but I'm of the opinion that you don't want to overdo it as far as each character. If you hear a good 5 seconds of a character voice, then 5 to 10 seconds at most is really all you need to hear to know, okay, they do that voice well. If you have a minute, you should be able to pull out a good 10, 12 voices convincingly in that character demo. Because a character demo has got to be it's got to be a good range. Or if you don't have a big range, but you do 3 or 4 characters really well, make it 30 seconds. Don't waste anybody's time. You can get your point across with a good voice in 5 to 10 seconds. And 10 seconds is almost a long time. If you've listened to a lot of demos all the time, you don't need to hear a voice for 10 seconds straight to know that a person does it well or not well. So brevity, and if you can, you know, they don't necessarily have to talk to each other. They don't necessarily have to be all telling the same story. Just make each one entertaining.
Awesome advice. This one's about gear, and it's for me. Because I want to know a little bit about your gear. You don't have to geek way out on us, but give us a little rundown of your signal chain from mic to the computer and what kind of environment you record in.
Sure. Mine it's pretty simple. I mean, you guys are like the real tech heads here, so I just don't have the knowledge you guys do, but I've been using a Shure KSM, I believe it's called.
Yeah. Great mic.
15 years. Yeah, it's a great mic. You can get it at Guitar Center or Amazon, any really good microphone dealer is going to have one. It's one of the most, I think, widely used kinds of mics. Condenser mics are very popular, and this is a good one. It's not a top-end mic, but it's not low-end either. It's probably a $500 to $600 mic.
32, KSM 32, Does that sound right?
Yeah, KSM-32. That's right.
It's pretty top end.
Great mic.
It is an excellent microphone.
Yeah. And
what's that go into?
You guys must have a wide range there too, I'm sure.
Yeah. What do you plug that into?
This is a custom made booth. I think you can, it's pretty well, I mean, you're not going to be able to see in there. It's a cave. I like it nice and dark. Nice and dark because I've got it kind of soundproofed. I've got some sound foam up there. And I just use my laptop. I've got a Mac and I've got a preamp. My preamp is like 15 years old. It's a mobile pre. It only costs about $100. And then I switched it out. I got a newer version of something like that. And I couldn't tell you much about it, except that it's red. It just, I mean.
We know what it is then.
My wife is a musician and she said, get this one. This one's good. And I said, okay. And so, you know, obviously the Shure KSM, you can't just run it right into your computer. It's too powerful. So you run it through a preamp. I use Audacity as my recording program. It's free. It's open source and it's really easy to use. A trained monkey could use it. And I am proof of that. And it's got nice bells and whistles if you want to do more with it. But if you're just sending in auditions, all you need is some good quality recording and the ability to edit easily. And then boom, export into an MP3 and you're off. So basic standard laptop, a nice preamp, a nice condenser mic and Audacity, and I am good to go. And yes, I have a nice booth. It cost a few thousand because I had it custom made. And as far as what anyone could use, I have to admit, you guys were talking about the portable studio, the box.
Yeah.
I used to use one of those. They're extremely effective.
Yeah.
And I dare say I bought a fabric box from IKEA. I stuffed sound foam inside of it, cut a hole in the back, put my mic there, put it on top of my desk when I had an apartment and I didn't have closet space to create a studio. Excellent acoustics. Yeah. So if you only have like $30 or $40, go to that person's website, because I'm sure it's not that much more expensive than that. And
a little bit more, but it's really good.
You know. It is. I mean, it's nothing matches having a booth, but that portable box is amazing. You can do a lot worse than that, I assure you.
I like this guy. He understands keeping it simple and not overthinking it.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is what
we need to overthink it. If you've got a walk-in closet and it's got carpet and you've got clothes hanging on either side, you're going to get amazing acoustics.
Absolutely. All righty. Tom Machen has another question here. And this is, you know, for someone who's established and you know, a working professional, he says, do you still get coaching or mentoring to pick up new ways of doing character voices or other things you've never thought of?
That's a good question. I do not get direct coaching or mentoring, but what I do is I pay attention, and I am very lucky. I get to work with legends in the business, and I am not asleep at the wheel when I'm in the room with them. I look at what they do, and I'll pick up a tip here and there, just listening. And sometimes I'll just chat with them about, oh, how'd you come up with that voice? Or, you know, how'd you do that? Or we'll share stories about how we created something. And if you're just hanging out with creative people, especially if you're fortunate enough to be around really successful, super talented creative people, you are going to learn by osmosis, just being around them, if you're paying attention. Because it is a good question. You can never stop learning. You never should stop learning. And so whether it's people who do seek out a coach and work with them, or people who just like looking at new stuff, like I'll watch cartoons, I'll watch animated stuff that my friends are in, and I'll check out what they're doing and think, that's why they booked it over me. Okay, I got you. They did something amazing that was not quite in my wheelhouse. Maybe I should work on that.
Yeah, so, learning from your peers, obviously, super valuable, especially when your peers are of that caliber.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're lucky enough to be in the room, you know, take mental notes. It will help.
Definitely. T-Man has another one about, you obviously work from home, but what is a typical day, if there is one?
Yeah.
How does it go for you typically?
I'm lucky. I don't work every day. Most voice actors I know don't work every day. Even the really busy ones get the occasional day off. And most of what I do is I get my auditions in, and my agency will send out all their auditions by 6:30 p.m. That's when their office closes. And I'll have the choice of either getting the auditions done that night before they're due the next day, or I can get up early, you know, and send them in from there. But I have two young kids, and so if my wife is not able to be there to help out with them, then I've got them to take care of. And it's summer, so they're not in school. So it depends on what my schedule is like. If I don't have a booking, it's really about getting those auditions in. And if a couple of the characters are deeper voice characters, I will save them for the morning because I'm pretty froggy in the morning. And for some reason, my voice just gets higher pitched as the day goes on. So basically, I get to spend most of my day around the house if I want. So, you know, mainly I get my auditions out of the way, and then it's just, all right, I'm going to go exercise and I'm going to go spend some time with my kids. If I've got a booking, I'll drive wherever I need to go to do it. And that's it, you know. And then, you know, if it's a day where it's a regular show I'm on, then the schedule's pretty solid. I know when I have to be there and I know when I'm going to leave. But this is a dream job. Most of my days are fairly open.
Well, works, I mean, it's a lot of work, but you have to keep your voice healthy. And Thomas Machen gets the last question. And he says, when you're working constantly in animation and games and all these other things, how do you keep your voice healthy? Or have you performed even though your voice wasn't 100%? Did it affect your performance?
Yes. Well, it starts with this right here. Drink a lot of this. Water, water, water. Stay hydrated. Especially since I live in LA, we live in LA, it's a desert. So you will get dried up. Basically hydrate, don't smoke. You know, if you do smoke, I hope you really enjoy it because, it's going to take some of your range away. Obviously some people are such good character actors with such textured voices that the smoking probably helped them. But you know, for me, that's a no-no. I do not drink very much at all. I used to have like, you know, one glass of wine or beer a night, you know, which is not even that much. But these days, it's very rare. And that keeps your voice pretty elastic, pretty healthy. I have friends who do vocal exercises every day, but I don't really do that. Just talking and keeping myself well lubricated seems to be enough. And yes, if you're working on a video game, you learn early on how to do diaphragmatic breathing and diaphragmatic screaming so that if you're going to yell, you don't do it from your throat. You push it out from your gut so you can really scream really loud without actually being really loud. And there are ways to cheat it so that you can kind of get away with it over a four-hour session. But it's a casting director once told me, when you audition for the video game, you get to decide how hard you're going to work. Because when you do the audition, if you scream your bloody head off, that's what they're going to want from you for 4 hours.
Right.
If you find a way to diaphragmatically do it and cheat it a little bit and make it sound as real as possible, if they like that, then when you book it, you'll be able to sustain that. So that's something that if you're not familiar with it, you might want to work with a coach on how to do that kind of diaphragmatic vocal delivery that will save your throat, because I have lost my voice from doing, and it was a video game, and the next day you're not quite the same. The funny thing is, the one time I really lost my voice from doing a game, it was doing a game called Flight Simulator, and I never yelled for the entire game. It was 4 hours of mid-range talking, and the next day my mid-range was completely gone, but I had falsetto and I had bass. But I had absolutely no mid-range for 24 hours. Wow. I never understood why that happened.
Yo,
that's amazing.
Yes. And on that note, well, yeah. Chris, it has been a pleasure having you on. It's great meeting you. And I'm sure we'll run into each other in Gelson's or Ralph's or one of those places one of these days. And
$9 on an avocado. Yeah.
Right. And again, if they want to find your web channel, what's the web address for that?
You can find me at chrisedgerly.com. You can go to edgybrothers.com, check out what my brother and I are working on, or you can find me on Twitter at chrisedgerly. And I also have a YouTube channel where I've got a lot of my commercials and animated stuff up there. And pretty soon I'm going to be creating my own little VO notes clips about just, you know, little bits of advice for the industry.
Excellent. Nice. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, and thanks for hanging out with us tonight.
Thank you. I got to tell my friends about you guys. You guys are great.
All righty. All right. Have a great evening.
You too.
All right. Well, we'll be right back to wrap things up, and we'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop.
Your dynamic voiceover career requires extra resources to keep moving ahead. Now there's one place where you can explore everything the voiceover industry has to offer. That place is voiceoverextra.com. Whether you're just exploring a voiceover career or a seasoned veteran ready to reach that next professional level, stay in touch with market trends, coaching, products and services while avoiding scams and other pitfalls. VoiceOver Extra has hundreds of articles, free resources and training that will save you time and help you succeed. Learn from the most respected talents, coaches, and industry insiders when you join the online sessions bringing you the most current information on topics like audiobooks, auditioning, casting, home studio setup and equipment, marketing, performance techniques, and much more. It's time to hit your one-stop daily resource for voiceover success. Sign up for a free subscription to newsletters and reports and get 14 bonus reports on how to ace the voiceover audition. It's all here at voiceoverextra.com. That's voiceoverxtra.com.
God, I'd love doing this show. But then again, if we've been doing it this long, if we didn't like it, it would be would have been over years ago. Now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before I ever
it's
got
good
up.
Thing we get along.
I know. Yeah. next week on this show, and again, thanks to Chris Edgerly for joining us. Next week, good friend of ours, Jamie Moffitt, is going to be here. Well, not here. He's actually in Philadelphia.
Hey, buddy.
I didn't see him there when I was in Philadelphia, but he has a great podcast called VO School Podcast. Mm. He's a voice actor, an audio engineer, and an actor, and a director, and he has a great British accent. So he'll be with us next week.
Very nice.
August 13th, in studio, Bob Bergen will be here.
All right.
Bob Bergen. That's everybody awesome. Wants to hear from Bob Bergen.
Yeah.
August 20th, in the studio, Paul Pape, who we've had on a couple of times. Great guy. And then on August 27th, Catherine Horan from The Voice Caster in Burbank will talk a little bit about voice casting.
Oh, that's great. It's always huge for our audience to have casting people.
Yeah. On. So we got a great lineup coming up
cool.
in August. So make sure you're tuned in for that. Alrighty. Awesome. Who are our donors of the week?
All right. Well, we've got some very familiar names for you folks who listen to us regularly. Eric Aragoni, Andrew Kaufman, going down the list, Martha Kahn. Hi, Martha. Shanna Pennington Baird, Antland Productions, going on down. Oh, I think somebody's trying to get my attention in the audience tonight. My dad.
George Whittam Sr.
George Whittam Sr., who is in the audience tonight. Say hi, Dad.
Hello, everybody.
He's one of our donors to the show. Diana Birdsall and Stephanie Sutherland. And, man, it goes on. What's this one? Tracy H. Reynolds.
All right.
That
thanks,
loops
Trace.
Us around to last week's donors.
Alrighty, fantastic. All right. Again, remember that George and I do this stuff, and you can find us at...
Well, you find me at georgethetech.com or georgethe.tech for people that like short domains.
Yeah, you geeky types. And for me, you can go to homevoiceoverstudio.com, and you will get the same great service. Maybe just flip a coin who you're going to go to. Or work with us both, which is always fun. Because we do talk. Anyway. Let's see, what else is going on here? You've got your geek podcast, and this is a podcast, the show logs. Dan Sutton's been joining in with Jack DeGolia doing the show logs.
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, we really appreciate
Thank you,
buddy. That. We are also a podcast, and you can get us on Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes.
Google Podcast.
Google
just say,
Podcast, yeah.
Hey, Google. Google.
No, not Google. Hey,
Siri
Alexa.
Does it? Alexa does it.
Hey, Alexa, I want to listen to VoiceOver Body Shop.
I know. And Google does it now where you don't have any software anymore. Just say, Okay, Google, listen to VoiceOver Body Shop, and you got a podcast right there.
It's absolutely amazing. We're here every Monday night. If you're in the greater Los Angeles area, like the Whittam clan is tonight, you can actually join us here in the studio by writing to us at theguys@vobs.tv and say, audience, and we'll give you the secret handshake. What else? Oh, it's your mom's birthday. Happy birthday to Mary Whittam.
Happy birthday, Mom. Is the audience camera working? No.
Yeah. Ah. Oh, not even the upside down version? Oh, well.
They're going to have to all come over here and be on camera.
Yeah,
then,
okay.
At the end of the show.
All right. Well, we also need to thank our... and tonight's booth was...
Actually, it turned out in the end we went to Bo Weaver's.
It was Bo Weaver's studio.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's very proud of that.
That is a beaut of a booth.
Send in your booth's pictures.
I didn't design that one.
All right. All right, well, we need to thank our sponsors like Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
Vio2Gogo.
VoiceActorWebsites.com.
And J. Michael Collins Demos.
All right. Well, we need to thank, of course, the Dan and Marcy Leonard Foundation for the betterment of live webcasting.
Mm-hmm.
Our producer, Catherine Curridan, for finding us great guests like Chris Edgerly and all the great people we've got coming up. Tonight... Paul Stefano was in the chat room.
That's right.
Did a great job with that.
Pinch hitting for Jack.
Yes. And also our floor director, technical director in Galabout Town, who just knows all about this stuff, Sue Merlino, who did a great job tonight. It was perfect all the way through for the last 3 weeks. You can't beat that. Okay, good.
She just remembered to hit record.
Yeah.
Let's do this again.
Okay, very good.
Because it's not warm in here at all.
Right. All right, and of course, we need to thank Lee Penny for simply being Lee Penny. Come visit us, Lee. Come on. All righty, that's going to do it for us this week. Where else are you going to get this information? Where else are you going to learn all about voiceover? We have written the entire Bible of how it's done. 330 live episodes. One episode after another, from start to finish. Not cut in half. We give you the whole thing. 330.
The whole enchilada.
That's right. So join us again next Monday night. I'm Dan Leonard.
I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or V-O-B-S.
Remember, if it sounds good.
It is good. All right. Hey, let's get the Whittam clan in here so everybody can see them. Okay. Well, everybody knows Ella. And there's the birthday girl. She can have a seat. And
come on, Mom.
And
thank you.
His brother Steve. Let's kick your head down there.
It's the camera. Remember, the camera is that thing right there. It's not
and then George Sr. is coming in here wearing a really good Hawaiian shirt.
Yes.
You guys honor me every time you're here. All right. I appreciate it.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Have a great week, everybody.
Love you.
Bye.
Yeah, we did.